The organ donation and transplantation system is based on trust, but a recent case is raising questions about that compact with donors. NPR health correspondent Rob Stein brings us this report and a warning. This story contains some disturbing descriptions.
Natasha Miller's job is to preserve organs after they've been removed from a donor. She was getting ready to do this for a drug overdose victim who had just been wheeled into an operating room in Kentucky when she realized something wasn't right.
He was moving around, kind of thrashing, like moving, thrashing around on the bed. And then when we went over there, you could see he had tears coming down. He was crying visibly.
Miller says the donor's condition alarmed everyone in the operating room at the Baptist Health Richmond Hospital in Richmond, Kentucky. The two doctors present refused to go ahead with the organ retrieval.
The procuring surgeon, he was like, I'm out of it. I don't want anything to do with it. It was just very chaotic. Everyone was upset.
So Miller says the case coordinator at the hospital for her employer, the Kentucky Organ Donor Affiliates, known as CODA, called her boss for advice.
She was saying that he was telling her that she needed to find another doctor to do it, that we were going to do this case. She needed to find someone else. And she's like, there is no one else. She's crying, the coordinator, because she's getting yelled at.
The organ retrieval was canceled, but some employees of the organ procurement organization say they were so concerned about the case that they quit over the October 2021 incident. Nicoletta Martin was another CODA organ preservationist at the time. Martin says she reviewed notes from a colleague at the hospital that described how hospital staff earlier that day had questioned the determination that the donor was dead during routine testing.
The donor had woken up during his procedure that morning for a cardiac catheterization, and he was thrashing around on the table.
But Martin says the donor was sedated and the plans to recover his organs proceeded. Martin says she was also dismayed by how she felt officials at the CODA Organ Procurement Organization downplayed the incident afterwards.
That's everybody's worst nightmare, right? Being alive during surgery and knowing that someone is just going to cut you open and take your body parts out. Like, that's horrifying.
Martin included details about the incident in a letter she sent to a House Congressional Committee that convened a hearing about organ procurement organizations in September and later provided additional information to NPR. Some observers of the organ procurement system say they weren't entirely surprised by the allegations. There have been unusual reports like this before. They say organ procurement organizations are under enormous pressure to get more organs to save more lives, and there are questions about how patients are declared dead. Dr. Matthew DeCamp is a bioethicist at the University of Colorado.
I hope that a case like this really is extreme, but it does reveal some of those underlying issues that can arise when there's disagreements about the determination of death.
The hospital emailed NPR a statement that, quote, the safety of our patients is always our highest priority. We work closely with our patients and their families to ensure our patients' wishes for organ donation are followed. The Organ Procurement Organization denies any wrongdoing. Julie Bergen is the chief operating officer for the Network for Hope, the new organ procurement organization for the region formed when CODA merged with another group.
This case has not been accurately represented. No one at CODA has ever been pressured to collect organs from any living patient. CODA does not recover organs from living patients. CODA has never pressured its team members to do so.
Defenders of the organ procurement system say they're skeptical anything like this could happen. Dori Dills is president of the Association of Organ Procurement Organizations. She says strict protocols are in place to prevent it.
Incidents like this are alarming, and we would want them to be properly reported and evaluated. And obviously, we want to ensure that individuals are, in fact, dead when organ donation is proceeding. And we want the public to trust that that is indeed happening. The process is sacred.
NPR also reached Donna Rohrer of Richmond, Kentucky. She says that her brother, Anthony Thomas Hoover II, was the patient. Everyone calls him TJ. He's 36. Rohrer was there that day. She says she became concerned when TJ appeared to open his eyes and look around as he was being wheeled to the operating room.
It was like it was his way of letting us know, you know, hey, I'm still here.
But Rohrer and other family members were told that it was just a common reflex. Since his release from the hospital, Rohrer says TJ still has memory problems and difficulty walking and talking.
I do feel angry. I feel betrayed by the fact the people that were telling us he was brain dead and then he wakes up. They are trying to play God. They're almost, you know, picking and choosing. They're going to take this person to save these people. And you kind of lose your faith in humanity a little bit.
The Kentucky State Attorney General's office says investigators are reviewing what happened, and the Federal Department of Health and Human Services is investigating. Rob Stein, NPR News.